Laura Blake is the chair of the Thames Crossing Action Group. They're opposed to the proposed Lower Thames Crossing. Laura, withdrawing at the plans, I mean, was this a surprise to you or did you see it coming?
Morning, Dave. We didn't really know what to expect, what the outcome would be. Obviously, it is a very welcome change in what was happening, because after the submission of the application, they had 28 days, the planning inspectorate, to decide whether they felt that Highways England had provided adequate information for them to be able to take it through to an examination process. Our understanding from the information we've found out from the planning inspectorate's website is that some of the documentation that HE provided actually was redacted, so it was blocked out, so it couldn't be viewed. They had to ask for that to be sent unredacted. And there was also other information relating to consultation details and evidently some other information that the planning inspectorate asked on more than one occasion for Highways England to provide, and they were unable to provide that in an acceptable manner to the planning inspectorate. So the planning inspectorate indicated to Highways England that they would be refusing the application, and based on that, Highways England then made the decision to withdraw it and go away and work on it again.
So just tell me once again, what are your main concerns about the whole plan?
We don't think it's fit for purpose. I mean, obviously things have changed during COVID, so whether or not it will have a huge impact long term on congestion at the current crossing is still to be seen. But even if you do agree that there should be a crossing, we don't feel that this one is the right one. It's simply the figures don't add up. We've used Highways England's own figures, and even if LTC goes ahead, the Dartford crossing is still going to be over capacity, so those problems that we all suffer with are not going to go away. And there are also not adequate connections in place for when traffic needs to migrate when there's an incident at either crossing. There, for instance, on the Kent side, if the tunnels were closed and you needed to come along the A2 to get onto the LTC, there's only one single lane off of the A2 onto the Lower Thames Crossing. Imagine the fun if you're trying to come home from Kent and you've got to sit in that traffic, all filtering through a one-lane bottleneck to get on the LTC and come back to this side of the water.
But we all agree that we all agree that something's got to be done, do we? We don't. I mean, yeah, the maintenance of the status quo just won't cut it for the future, will it? But it's a question of what needs to be done that you're querying.
If you're going to spend £8.2 billion of taxpayers' money, which by our working out means that it's now more expensive per mile than HS2, and we all know how controversial the cost in that project has been, it needs to be done and it needs to fix the problems. That was the original task that they were given, is to fix the problems at the Dartford crossing, obviously, and we all know how horrendous that can get. To spend £8.2 billion and then find out it's still not solved, it, and in actual fact is very likely to make it a lot worse, because any time there are incidents that either there just simply aren't the adequate connections to get there, it's not a solution. Our preferred option would be an option called Option A14. That would be a tunnel coming from around Junction 2 on the M25, coming up between 30 and 29 on the M25. Finally completing that M25 as a true motorway orbital, Dave, because as we all know, the crossing is actually the A282.
Yeah.
Being in a tunnel, they could filter the air and actually improve air quality. The destruction is far less. And we just feel that that is an option that should have been given more consideration. It's not something we've come up with. It's something that was an original Highways England option out of the many originally they had. In 2016, before this preferred route was chosen, the consultation direction that the government gave Highways England was to consult on location A and C. But they actually provided us with a very biased consultation in favour of location C, which is what we've ended up with. It was only halfway through the consultation that we managed to get a minister to actually force Highways England's hand and admit that it was an option still for location A that we could be commenting on, by which time most people weren't even aware that it was an option that they could be considering.
And so, it's not just because you don't want it through your garden?
Not at all. No, no. I mean, obviously, it would be bad enough if the people who have to have this through and the destruction it's doing, they're destroying things like solar farm. And in the same breath, they're then trying to make out that this is an environmentally sound project as much as any project like this can be. It's ridiculous. You look at a map and you see that they're actually marking a current solar farm as environmental mitigation because they've actually got to demolish it, but they're then going to use it for environmental mitigation. Just doesn't add up. But it would be bad enough that all of this destruction was going on on if it actually solved the problems, and it doesn't. And that is, in my book, completely unacceptable.
All right, Laura, good to speak to you. Laura Blake, chair of the Thames Crossing Action Group. They're opposed to the present plan for the Lower Thames Crossing. I mean, what do you think? Or are you just fed up with the whole thing? How many years has this been rumbling on, eh? What do you reckon?